Father, we want to thank you for your word. Lord, we put our trust fully in what you have to say to us. We thank you that you're a God who still speaks today. The problem is that we're often not willing to listen, but give us ears this morning to hear what you have to say to us. Open our understanding, the ears of our understanding, to grasp what it is heaven is saying this morning. Father, open our ears and open my mouth as well. Lord, grant that anointing of your Holy Spirit upon this time now, we pray. Amen. Well, Romans 12, let's just read from verse 9, probably only to verse 12 or 13. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Well, there's probably about 10 sermons in those little verses there, aren't there? So I'm not going to speak on all of that. I'm just going to speak on one little phrase. And it's found in verse 11, where the command really is, be fervent in spirit. The word be isn't in mine, it's in some translations. So not lagging, the be comes in verse 10, if you like. Be fervent in spirit. God is wanting a people that are fervent in spirit. Now, what does that actually mean? It's good to get an understanding of what that actually means, first of all, not to misunderstand it, and then perhaps look at one or two reasons why God wants us to be fervent in spirit. See, God doesn't waste words like you and me. When he says something, he says it for good reason. He says it because we need to be what he wants us to be. And there's very good reason for that. There's also obstacles as well to us being fervent in spirit. And we'll look at one or two of those as well and how we can be fervent in spirit. Well, this word fervent, first of all, means to be hot. It means to boil with heat. To be stirred up, I suppose. The word is often translated zealous. It can also mean glowing, shining, burning as on fire. So a lot of things there to consider. But I think what struck me as I read this, that God was very clear to emphasize it was to be fervent in spirit. Be fervent in spirit. It's easy to be fervent in the flesh, isn't it? It's easy to be fervent with our emotions. Some of us are more emotional than others. Not if you're English, perhaps, but if you're Welsh or from one or two other parts of the world, we can be quite emotional at times, particularly when we're watching the rugby or whatever. So there's a natural fervency that we can have. Natural, emotional, carnal, if you like, fervency is not evidence of fervency of spirit. Let me say that straight away. So you may not naturally be a very emotional, fervent person in that sense. It doesn't stop you from being fervent in spirit. That's a different matter. I will also add that being fervent in spirit can also have the effect of making us fervent emotionally. Having a fervency in that region as well. The thing is, it's under the control of the Spirit. It's of the Spirit. It's in the Spirit. It's not originating in our flesh with the natural man. It's a fervency that is in spirit. It begins there. It originates there. But it may have an overflow in many different ways in our lives. We're all different. The command, however, is to be fervent in spirit. And of course, God could easily have said in these words through Paul, be fervent. And that could have led to all sorts of problems, couldn't it? Because we might then think any fervency will do. And that is a danger. And we could find many times in Scripture where fervency that's not in the Spirit, or in spirit, one or two other things as well, we'll come to that in a second, is dangerous. And I'm just going to give you a few examples of this. First of all, Romans 10. So a few verses to look at, I'm afraid. Go back, Romans 10, verse 2. Not very far, so you should be able to get there quite quickly. Romans 10, verse 2. This is Paul writing about the Jews. For I testify about them, that's the Jews, that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. The knowledge of God, the knowledge of His Word, the knowledge of His ways is critical to keeping our fervency on track, if you like. To keeping it focused in the right direction, in the right place. And that wasn't true here because the Jewish people did not know their Saviour and had rejected Him. But that's not only true for the Jews, that's true for those who call themselves Christians as well. Those who are religious. We'll come to one or two of those things in a second. But let's look at Philippians 3 verse 6, because this is something that Paul recognised in his former life before he knew the Lord as a Jew. Philippians 3 and verse 6. He says, as to zeal, same word. Although it's the noun rather than the verb. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. That's what zeal can do, friends, when we do not know the Lord. When we're not in touch with the head of the church. It's true even of Christians, I will say. It's certainly true of the Catholic Church. If you go and read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I would strongly recommend you should read that book. In fact, do you know that when the Bible was put in churches, I think it was 300 or 400 years ago for the first time when it was translated, alongside the Bible was put Fox's Book of Martyrs to understand what God was freeing us from as a nation. And also to understand that a zeal that is misplaced, that is not based on the knowledge of God, is very, very dangerous. Because it gives room for the enemy. The enemy comes in and he gets a hold of that. And those who are involved in that. And he uses them in such an atrocious way. And you see the atrocities that were committed in the name of God. When God had nothing to do with them. Nothing to do with them. And then in 2 Samuel. So we've got the same in the Old Testament as well. This misplaced zeal. Just listen if you don't want to turn to there. The context is, there was a famine in the land. So it says, now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years. Year after year. And David sought the presence of the Lord. What a good thing to do. Are we like that? When we see things are naturally not right, even in the nation, we need to be a people that think spiritually. I think, why is this happening? There is a reason. Let's not have the mindset that is prevalent in so much of the church. You think God is somehow distant. And this has nothing to do with God. God is involved in human history, friends. He's involved with the affairs of this nation. And when things are not going right, we need to ask the question, why? And we need to seek God. And unfortunately, the church by and large has lost that. We do not seek God as we ought. To know why things are as they are. So David, maybe we might say he's a bit slow to do this after 3 years. But what was he doing with those 2 or 3 years beforehand? But praise God, he did seek the Lord. It says this, and the Lord said, it is for Saul and his bloody house, because he put the Gibeonites to death. So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not of the sons of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the sons of Israel made a covenant with them. But Saul had sought to kill them in his zeal for the sons of the Lord. And that was totally against what God had commanded. Because they had made a covenant with the Gibeonites. And they had to honour that. It was a covenant made before God. And Saul went against that and he killed these Gibeonites. And that word zeal is actually a parallel word to the Greek word. And the reason I say that is because if you look at the translation of Psalm 69, we'll look at this later perhaps, Psalm 69 verse 9, where it says, zeal for your house consumes me. It is then translated in the same word that we are looking at this morning in John's Gospel 2 when it talks of Jesus when he overturned the tables. Zeal for your house will consume me. So it's the same word. Even though it has slightly different meaning, it can involve jealousy as well. But it's the same meaning generally. So we see Saul perform things. He had a zeal, interestingly, not for God, it says, doesn't it? He had a zeal for the for the sons of Israel and Judah. There's a right zeal for the brothers and sisters in Christ. We'll look at that in a minute. But there's a wrong zeal as well. Our zeal primarily and firstly need to be for the Lord and for his word and for his ways. So there's some incidents of where it's a wrong kind of zeal, a wrong kind of fervency that can get us into all kinds of problems that have done so much damage, even in our own country, over hundreds of years. Well, why is it so important? I want to ask this question. Why is it so important that we are fervent in spirit? Why does God put this in his word? Why does he say this? Well, couple of verses. This little phrase occurs quite a few times in the Old Testament. Now, I've got two written down. You just look at 2 Kings 19, first of all. 2 Kings 19 and verse 31. Well, let's read verse 29 to 31. Then this shall be the sign for you. You will eat this year what grows of itself, and the second year what springs from the same, and the third year sow, reap, plant vineyards, and eat their fruit. The surviving remnant of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem will go forth a remnant, and out of Mount Zion survivors. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. It's the zeal of the Lord. It's his fervency for fulfilling his word and his purposes for his people Israel today. That we see these things will be fulfilled because it's on God's heart to do it. And God is never lacking in fervency like you and I. His zeal is perfect. And it's God who wants to impart something of that zeal to us as well. So when we read here, and we can read it in Isaiah 9 verse 7 as well, but God's zeal will accomplish this, God's zeal will fulfill this. Yes, he's talking about God's zeal in himself, but I believe it's also talking about the zeal God gives his people as well. Because God uses us to fulfill his purposes. It isn't as if God does everything without anybody else involved. That's not the way God works. And we know that. God uses his people. And therefore, if we are going to be part of God's purposes, and God's purposes are going to be fulfilled for us individually, for this body here, and wider, then we will need to know something of the zeal of God. It's the zeal of God that will accomplish this. And that's a spiritual zeal, primarily. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Let's have a look at a couple of examples of where this was the case. We'll look at one in the new and one in the old. One in the new, first of all, Acts 18. Acts 18 and verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John, and so it goes on. But notice, here was a man who was fervent in spirit. And what was he doing? He was fulfilling the purposes of God for his life. He was sharing Christ with others. He was making the Lord Jesus known. And that's God's will for every one of us, of course. And that's part of his commission for the church, that we make Christ known. And to do that, we will need something of a fervency in spirit. Not a fervency in the flesh, that can be dangerous, and I've seen that in operation in people who would batter people about the head with the Bible and doesn't do any good at all. But this is the fervency of spirit where we share Christ in a right way. But also take note, this man, Apollos, was mighty in the script. He loved the scriptures. This is a man who loved the word of God. And that's a good place to be, friends. If you want to be fervent in spirit and not let that fervency be, put off track, derailed, the only way that can happen is if we love the Word of God and get into the Word of God. Don't tell me you love the Word of God if you're not in the Word of God. That's simply not true. If you love the Word of God, you will be in the Word of God. Daily, getting into God's Word. It is simply impossible to tell me that you love the Word of God and are not reading it. It just isn't true. Something you love, you want to give yourself to. So can I encourage you, get into God's Word. It'll keep that fervor on track. And then in Numbers 25, I think I'm going to read my writing. I'll just tell you about the incident first of all. This is about Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest. There was gross immorality and idolatry taking place in the camp of Israel. And Phinehas, stirred by this, stirred with the jealousy, it says, of God himself, arose and dealt with it. And he put to death two people. He put to death two people. It says here, in verse 8, so he went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through the body. So the plague on the sons of Israel was checked. So we can see quite clearly this was something God was wanting, because it checked the plague that was wiping out many. There was the judgment of God upon the camp because of what was happening. And this, someone had to deal with it, and Phinehas dealt with it. How and why? Because he had something of that fervency in spirit. Something of the fervor of God in his heart. It says, go on reading verse 10. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned away my wrath. What an amazing thing that you and I can turn away the wrath of God. Potentially, if that's something God is wanting. That's why intercession is so vital. God is wanting us to represent the nation before the Lord. He wants to represent the church before God, our families, our loved ones. Because in doing that, it is possible to turn the wrath of God away. What an amazing thing God has done in Christ. It's only in Christ this is possible, friends. It's only in Christ. But it says, let's go on reading. He has turned away my wrath from the sons of Israel, in that he was jealous. With my jealousy, it's the same word as zeal or zealous. In the other Old Testament passage in Samuel, he was jealous with my jealousy among them. So you see, the fervency that God is wanting is not our own. It is the fervency, yes, in spirit, in our spirit. But as a believer, your spirit and my spirit is joined to the Holy Spirit. And do you know what? When the translators were translating the Bible, they could not determine sometimes whether spirit meant the Holy Spirit or your spirit and my spirit. There's a union that God has brought about in our spirits that I don't fully understand. But I know it to be true. The Word of God tells me. I know it in experience, and you probably do as well. And it's the fervency in spirit, I believe firmly, is the fervency that God gives it by his Spirit. It is not something that we independently work up. It is something that God is giving us. That's why it's so important that we remain close to the Lord and stay with him and near him, because he's able to impart that to us. Which is why Jesus didn't go about the temple turning the tables over every day of his life. He did on one occasion, when the zeal of the Lord got a hold of him. Because he was in such communion with the Father, he only ever did what the Father told him to do. He only ever did what he saw the Father doing. We're told that very clearly. So when he turned those tables over, it wasn't a fit of pique. It was Jesus acting in zeal. Zeal for the house of the Lord. So, there's a couple of examples. Does it matter that we are fervent or not? Doesn't it just matter that I'm lukewarm? Well, we know where God mentions he's lukewarm, don't we? Let's turn to it. Revelation 3. See what God has to say about this. Revelation 3, the message to Laodicea. Verse 15 of Revelation 3. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. And that word hot there is the same root word. To boil over. To be hot. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. That is very, very sobering, friends. God is speaking to believers here. To believers. And you see, to be lukewarm, you must first have been warm or hot. That's why God says he'd rather you, in a sense, not to have known, to have been cold. But to have been hot and then allow yourself to become lukewarm and to lose something of your love for him and your desire for him and that fervour is very, very serious. Very serious. In fact, God hates it. God hates it. And if we go on in that passage, we will read at the end, that word again comes out at the end. Praise God, there's a way out of this. You haven't got to stay in a place of lukewarmness this morning, friends. I don't know where you are. If you're in a place of lukewarmness, you don't need to stay there. This is the message to the church in Laodicea. Verse 19, those whom I love I reprove and discipline. Therefore be zealous, be fervent and repent. Turn around. Turn around, turn to him. There's a way out of that lukewarmness. We don't need to stay in there. There's a way in which we can come back into a fervency in our walk with the Lord so that we can work with him for the fulfilling of his purposes. We don't need to remain there, friends. We don't need to remain there. And then Romans 12, back to the original passage. Romans 12. So we're looking at why we need to have that fervency. Because God hates it. We just looked at that. Now Romans 12. Again, and verse 11. Verse 11. I know that the verses weren't there. They're not, in a sense, put there by the original writers. But I do believe there's something that goes together here in this verse. Just as in verse 10 it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honour. And then I believe the next verse goes together. Not lagging behind in diligence, but fervent in spirit. The word but isn't there. But I believe it could be. Because I think the two are opposing. You see, we need to be fervent in spirit so that we will be a diligent people. A diligent people before the Lord. And we'll look at one or two verses in a second. But God is wanting us not to be lagging behind in diligence. Diligence means, and that word in the Greek means, to make haste. To be, I've written it down somewhere, where is it? To make haste, to be earnest in your care for something. To be careful. Circumspect. We'll have a concern, a real concern, that what God has called us to do, we want to do it properly. And I know that as a teacher. When someone, one of my pupils is not showing diligence, and really they're not finishing their homework, or they're not doing it properly, they're not listening properly, they're not doing things that they should do, because they're lacking in diligence. God doesn't want us to be a people lacking in diligence, friends. He wants to be diligent in our walk with him. And fervency of spirit, I believe, is at the root of this. If we are fervent in spirit, I do believe we will be much more likely to be diligent. And this word diligent comes out many times in Scripture. I've got a couple of things written down. Perhaps look at just one of them for the sake of time. Hebrews 6. Just listen if you want to. Hebrews 6 says this. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence, so as to show the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish. Is that sluggishness again? That lagging behind, that sluggishness. But imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So diligence, vital, if we are to realize, it says here, the full assurance of hope. Diligence requires so that we can be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Diligence is vital in the Christian walk, friends. We can't be a careless people. Now the wonderful thing is you may not naturally be a diligent person. But that's no excuse, unfortunately. No excuse. It's an excuse for some of my pupils because they're not very diligent. And unless you give them we can't hit them these days, but unless you do something to make them a bit more diligent, then nothing's going to change. But for the believer, for you and I, the Holy Spirit is at work within us. He can make us diligent. He can give us a diligence in our walk with Him. He can do that, friends. So naturally, if you're not a diligent person, don't worry about it. All the more room for God to get the glory when you do show diligence because of the work of His Spirit within and that fervency that God is giving you. Okay then, 2 Corinthians 9. And we'll read just probably one verse here, verse, verse 1 and 2 of 2 Corinthians 9. For it is superfluous for me to write to you about this ministry to the saints. That's the giving, the providing of the needs of the saints that the church was involved in. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal, same word, your fervency, has stirred up most of them. Wow, isn't that wonderful? That if you are fervent in your walk with the Lord, it will affect others. And I know that to be true in my own life. I've seen it in others, and it has affected me. For the good, for the better. And I'm sure you've got many testimonies as well. You think back down your walk with the Lord over many years. You've seen something in someone where they've been wholehearted and fervent in their walk with the Lord. And it has stirred you. Well, praise God for brothers and sisters like that. But you see, we can have effect on others. If there's a fervency in our lives, a fervency in our spirits, then that can stir up most of them. Wonderful. Wouldn't it be all wonderful if we could stir up most of our brothers and sisters in this land? Wonderful. So, friends, it's contagious. Possibly. Okay, what about the other verse I had written down here is... I didn't write it down in the end. But there's a passage somewhere, and you can go look it up, I'll find it up later, where we can be, we are to be fervent in our love for our brothers and sisters. Well, I suppose it follows on from this, really. The fervent in our providing for the needs of our brothers and sisters. Fervent in our love and care for one another. It's to be real, friends, from the heart. And God, by His Spirit, can work this in us. There's to be a jealousy, if you like, for one another. I think it's in that Hebrews passage, actually, it was, but talking about that. But there's a sense that we should want the best for our brothers and sisters, shouldn't we? And be fervent about that, in praying for them, in encouraging them, and anything else the Lord puts on our heart to do. And I suppose, finally, these are the two passages I mentioned earlier. Zeal for the house of the Lord. In John 2, we won't look at these two passages for the sake of time. John 2 verse 17, Psalm 69 verse 9, where it says, zeal for your house will consume me. Jesus had a zeal for the house of the Lord. Do we have a zeal for the house of the Lord? Yes, for the people of God within it, but for the house of God and the testimony of the church in the neighbourhood, in the land. We're to have a fervency for that, friends. Because God is fervent about it. God wants His church to be an instrument in His hand that has a testimony in this day. Sadly, the church by and large is an irrelevance in this land because of the compromise that we've seen. But God can restore things, friends. He's well able to do it, but He's looking for a people that He can give something of His fervor to. And He can do that, friends, if we let Him. And we can have that zeal for the house of the Lord. Well, just finally, a few things in finishing, looking at barriers, really. Things that can stop us being fervent in spirit. And there are things, unfortunately, that can get in the way. We've looked at one thing already, just to remind you, but the lack of that knowledge of God and His Word can really cause our fervency to deviate and go in a wrong direction. We need to know God's Word. I won't emphasize that anymore, but let's move on. Laodicea, what was the problem there? Why did they lose their warmth? Why did they become so lukewarm? Because they became a very self-sufficient people. Depending on their own abilities, they'd lost that poverty of spirit where they knew they couldn't fulfill anything in the kingdom of God without the help of God. Do you know that, friends? Do I know that? that you and I can't do a thing in the kingdom of God without his help. And if we think we can, then we are fooling ourselves and we will become like the Laodiceans who became blind. They couldn't even see it in the end. They lost their warmth. They lost their heat. They became lukewarm. They were self-sufficient. They thought they had everything. And I suppose it speaks much of the church in our day, where we think we're in a place that we're not, and we can't even see it. But the wonderful thing about being fervent of spirit and being hot is that we will see. We will be able to see where we are. We'll have that our eyes will be open. Well, two more things, perhaps in closing. Galatians 5. Don't turn to it if you don't want to. I'll just perhaps mention one or two things from this, because this really looks at that conflict that we go through as believers between the flesh on the one hand and the spirit on the other. The two in conflict with one another. The spirit of God within us, united with our spirit, wanting us to go in a certain direction, and the flesh wanting to go in the opposite direction. The two can't go in the same way, friend. They pull in opposite directions. That's why it talks so much in the scriptures about being dead to these things. When Jesus was crucified on that cross, it talks about our flesh being crucified with him. We need to reckon that so. We need to realize that and live like that. And not allow our flesh to rule our lives. Because if it does, we will lose fervency, friends. Absolutely. It's impossible to be a fervent believer. Yes, there can be a false fervency. There can be a fervency of the flesh. But the fervency God is looking for is only possible if we are led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God has got a hold of us. Because the two are in enmity to one another. They are totally opposed. And this passage brings it up. But I say, walk by the Spirit, verse 16, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So, obvious really, isn't it? But we struggle with this. I know my own life I struggle. And unfortunately, friends, it's a struggle you will have to your dying breath. But learn to overcome. And overcome you can, and I can. We can overcome in Christ. We don't need to lose fervency. We don't need to be led by the flesh. That will cause us to lose that heat, if you like. And he goes on to list an awful lot of things there that we don't want to be involved in. But if we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. And verse 24, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Does that mean we have no more passions and no more desires? No. The passions and desires we have are in the Spirit and from the Spirit. The Lord can give us his passions and his desires so that they are wholesome, they're pure, they're right. But those passions and desires of the flesh can be put to death, friends. Praise God for this salvation that is so complete. Nothing is lacking in this salvation, friends. Every problem that you have in your life can be dealt with in Christ. There is nothing that he can't deal with. The problem is with us, of course, whether we want it dealt with, whether we are open to that and want it. But there's no lack on his part. This is a tremendous gospel, friends. And all the answers that we need for our lives are found in it. And then perhaps one final thing. Maybe two. That lack of separation with this world. There's nothing more sapping of our spiritual energy than being close to this world and allowing it to get a hold of our hearts. And it's harder, I believe, in this day than in any other day. It's so invasive, isn't it? It talks about in Hosea 7 verse 8 about Israel mixing with the nations and becoming like a cake that's not turned, uncooked, maybe hot on one side and horrible on the other side. Friends, we're living in a day where the world is so, so invasive on our social media, our TVs, the internet, you name it. And do you realize that behind the world system, there are demonic powers? Oh, they won't show themselves to you, but we know they are very real. And their desire is to water down your fervency. To put you in a place of lukewarmness where you cannot serve your Lord. Where you cannot be the person God wants you to be. Young people, listen. Be careful. Be very, very careful. The enemy is a past master. He operates as an angel of light. He knows your weakness. He knows how he can get a hold of you. He knows how he can pull you down. Get his claw into you. Reduce your fervor for the Lord. Get you distracted into something that you might think is good. But before you know it, you've lost your love for the Lord, your fervor for the Lord. Friends, we need to be very careful. Let's guard our hearts in this. Let's be very careful. Very careful. And if you're unsure of anything, particularly you children, ask. Don't be proud. I know I used to be in your place as well, and my parents used to tell me something I always knew. I always thought I knew better than them. Your parents have been there. They've done it, and they've got the T-shirt, as they say. So we know what you're going through. And we can recognize probably a bit more readily than you about where the dangers are. So be very careful, be very careful. And then finally, how are we going to maintain this fervency of spirit? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. This is what Simon was talking about last week. Being baptized in the Spirit initially, but then go on being filled. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, so vital. Because in that, God has a hold upon us. He can enable us to operate in that fervency in a way that leads to his purposes being completed. Let's pray.